Thank you, Lord. We're giant killers. I'm so glad. Yeah, we're more than conquerors. I don't care what MSM says. I don't care who they are and what they say. They're all liars. We're more than conquerors. God doesn't raise any losers. All right, Sunday morning, 5/9/21. Abundant Grace Fellowship teaching. This is Learning to Flow in the Supernatural. Church Order, Part 3. Now, I want you to remember back at the very beginning, I told y'all, do not get these expectations of you think what I'm going to be teaching about this. I just had that from the Lord. And it has not gone anywhere like you thought it would it? Not traditionally speaking. What is the Lord doing? He's getting to the root of the problem. If you don't have a strong foundation, then you don't have anything. I don't care how many people you're running or whatever. If you don't have God's order in the church, nothing's going to work.
The title of this is the Church Order.
Order Part 3. Church Order Part 3. So we've looked at a few weeks on this, but I want to continue on. I keep learning, so as I keep learning, I'm going to bring it to you. And you know what? From now on, wherever you may go, whether you're here or there or elsewhere, any church you go to, you know what to scope out and make sure you in God's order. Because if you're not, if they're not, you're wasting your time. Like I said, on this house will I build my church, on this rock. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. When it's built on the sound, the solid foundation, the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it. Has the devil prevailed against the church? Does it appear so at this time? Yes, it does, big time. Okay, let's get into this. All right. I hope not to repeat myself in this, but maybe we need to repeat. You know, it's a lot to take in. But anyway, in relaying this information, forgive me if I do repeat something I've already said. All right, just laying it out to you as the Lord has been laying it out to me. And I'm coming up with a lot of questions. Okay. We've been looking at the office of the apostle mainly, also some of the prophet's office, since the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus being the chief cornerstone. This is what the Lord said to me. The reason for no power in the church as a whole is that it's out of order. The church is not built on the foundation of pastors. They have their part. They're one of God's gifts to the ministry, but they are not, yeah. The Lord reminded me of the three orders that He spoke to us many years ago. Really, He spoke that to Danny. Home order, ministry order, and church order. And a lot of them think, well, you need to get the home in order, then the ministry in order, then church order. No, I don't agree. I agree you get the church in order. And when there's a good foundation, then the church starts bringing forth how? Teaching us how to live. What God expects out of us. And then what's going to happen? People are going to get their homes in order. People are going to get their ministries in order. If the church doesn't teach it, if you know you don't have a preacher, how are you going to hear? So what the scripture says. How are you going to hear? The Lord said that He can only operate through divine order. He has no other way. He's not going to compromise His way to walk in human ways. That ought to be obvious that He doesn't accommodate our plans. We are to accommodate His plan. That's the only way it is. There's no wishy-washy with God. Either you're in His will or you aren't. Now, I know we're in an in-between state. Our minds are being renewed. But He knows that as He gives us information, we adjust. And we're coming up higher and higher. You know, we're not so much in the AM frequency, we're on the FM frequency, where God is. Okay, last week we looked at how God can only do things for us when we are in line with Him. It's the same with the church. Really, the plan's the same, whether it's corporately or individually. Okay. All right, I want to look at 1 Corinthians 14. I have learned one of the biggest jobs of an apostle is this: set things in order. Set things in order. All right, 1 Corinthians 14:40. Let all things be done decently and in order. Whenever one of the churches would get in some kind of mess, like the guy with the stepmother committing incest, what'd Paul do? He judged that right there and then and told him just exactly what to do, kick him out of your fellowship. He called the kettle black. Then later, he made a decision. He said, lest he be full of sorrow and lose the faith completely, welcome him back in. He's learned his lesson. What would have happened if he had not have dealt with that? What's happening in our churches today? I remember some pastor. I don't know if it was on Sid Roth, and he was interviewing somebody, and he was talking about how he was a special speaker at a church. Was it Jesse Duplantis? Well, anyway, whoever it was. They had, after church, they all went down into the basement and wife swapped. I'm just going, say what? But you know what? If all you know is this culture, it's anything goes. All gods are the same, whether it be Buddha or Yoda or whoever. They're all the same God. No, they're not. There's one God, Jehovah, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. There they are, the triune God, right there. Not anything goes. If our churches have been run properly, apostles in place to oversee. To me, to be a pastor, to have an apostle that did oversee would be a blessing, because sometimes I think pastors, that's why they've come in here by the hundreds. I said, Lord, you just shoot the pastors out like machine guns. And they couldn't understand it. I said, here I've been in training for 150 years here and nothing. And I'm saying, you're shooting out these young bucks like a machine gun. Pastors everywhere. I'm going, what is going on here? I didn't understand. I knew something was wrong. I'm thinking, what is the deal here? Well, cemetery trained as opposed to Holy Ghost trained, I guess. I hate it when I hear someone with all that old cemetery talk. Religious cemetery, pharisaical, judgmental type of speaking. I just think, ugh. God never meant that. We're His family. He loves us, and He wants the best for us. So when we get in an order, then we're going to start seeing His power show up and His glory show up in the church like it's supposed to. I know this probably will not be a popular message. Since when is anything the Lord's ever given me a popular message? It's not. It hasn't been. I can't even get people close to me, now excluding y'all, of course, close to me to even pay attention. Even the ministers that, so to speak, separated me, prayed over me and separated me, they think I'm probably Looney Tune. From the response I get, they don't have any understanding at all. Because they've been taught, indoctrinated, religiously taught, this is the way it is. And so, come hell or high water, we ain't changing our mind. This is the way it is, the way we've done it, it's the way we've always done it. Well, I'm telling you what, the way we've always done it, it's time to quit doing it the way we've always done it, because it ain't working. People don't understand. And you don't want to scare people. I brought it up on the broadcast this morning. We're at the end, folks. There ain't any more end than this. Whenever you've got the deep state want to take you out with a vaccination, kill you dead. Take everything you own. I think that's the end, wouldn't you say? The end of civilization as we know it. When it's happening all over the world simultaneously. I'd say that's the end. Well, no, we hadn't seen, the old prophets ain't showed up in Jerusalem yet. We hadn't seen the Antichrist step up in the temple. Temple ain't built yet. Everything's a disclaimer. Why? It's because they probably wrote that. They twisted the Bible, I believe, personally, enough to skew it, to make us think. And I even read something yesterday, someone that I highly esteem, a teacher in the Word of Faith, I highly esteem him. And I said, Lord, I want to be a teacher like him. Even when we've been taught, we know it's all going to get worse. Now, he had upbeat with, in the kingdom of God, it's not worse, but we know the world's going to get worse. But see, where they miss it is the world's going to get taken out. See, that's the part they don't put in there, that we win. I mean, there's got to be something for Jesus to come back and us reign 1,000 years, right? On present course, if they continue on the course that they're on, what's going to happen? There won't be anybody left. It says even if the elect, there'll be the elect would be not even be able to make it if he didn't shorten the days. That's what I see happening. And I don't think it's rocket science. It's as plain as the nose on your face. I would be willing to say people that aren't religious, probably don't even go to church or associate that way, see it better than most churchy people. Yeah. Oh, it's just going to get worse and worse. I've gotten to where any of those programmers that talk like that, I just won't listen to them anymore. No, there's so few. There's so few that are actually upbeat and know what's going on and are speaking, trying to get the attention of people to encourage them. Now I know the Lord hadn't put me through this hellhole for all of these years. Very hard, strenuous teaching for this to be the end. I do not believe that. And I know you don't believe that either. God hadn't brought you this far. And going through what you've gone through to raise you up to do something for there to be nothing to do. Well, yeah, you're just, it's done. No, I don't believe that. I believe we're going to have 1,000 years. That's what I believe. We're going to do it right. Let all things be done decently and in order. That's God's way. Name one thing that God did that wasn't orderly. When you see something in disarray and chaotic, you know where that comes from. That's Satan. The pastor has become the say over everything, and the other offices are virtually non-existent. It has become a competition, I think. A pastor, for the most part today, would bow up at an apostle or prophet setting things in order in their church. Now I want you to, when it comes to apostles do not just go in because they have a position of authority and just say, well, I'm an apostle now and I'm taking over your church. See, this is where they probably got off on the wrong foot, using their authority outside of their sphere of influence of where God's placed them. The proper thing would be to do is those in the church recognize the certain person as an apostle and they submit to their authority, and God has showed them that. That's how God does it. See, God places it. God does it. It isn't, well, bless God, and all apostles aren't over all churches. Like we've seen, Paul was over the Gentile churches. Peter was over the churches in Jerusalem, or the Jew converts. And there were different types of apostles doing different kind of things all over this, all over this, not United States, but the earth at that time. So God places. It's not something that an apostle can do. It is something that God does in places, like David as king. Look what happened and all he went through. Look at Joseph, how he was prepared. And look where he actually became pretty well the leader of Egypt. But God placed it. Pharaoh recognized him. Pharaoh placed him in that high place. That's how God does it. So when you're operating within your God-given sphere, then all's going to be well. All right. I think that's probably been the biggest problem. Because I've heard people say that. Somebody come in, some young kid come in, say they're an apostle and they're taking over. Well, I'll kick him right out the door. See, that's not properly placed. And besides, there's a lot of training goes into that office. All right. Let me see here. I think, okay, a pastor for the most part today would bow up at an apostle or prophet setting things in order in their church, unless, of course, that pastor knows divine order and recognizes the apostle and prophet that are assigned to this fellowship by God. Because it is a team. It's a ministry team. A body working together with many moving parts. There should always be accountability. That is why it's going to have to be if we want to see God's glory and power show up. Paul is an example of an apostle to the Gentile churches. After Paul was imprisoned and possibly executed, John was called to be an apostle to the churches over Asia, Ephesians being one of them. See, Paul was the prophet or the apostle over Ephesus. And then later, John was called to be an apostle over the seven churches of Asia, which Ephesus was one. Okay, also Peter's over the churches of the Jewish converts. What is the purpose of the gifts? We're going to look at that. This is Ephesians 4. It's a team working together to mature the saints, to do the work of the ministry. It's a team. It's not a, my church is bigger than your church. All right, well, let's read Ephesians 4 here. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. Well, let me say this one thing, one good thing about the apostles' office. Prophets submit to apostles, but apostles also submit to prophets because they see the vision. To me, it's a balancing between the two. You're not going to have an apostle that doesn't have a prophet in the network. In fact, this man that I am reading a couple of his books that was an apostle for many years that's passed away, he had an intercessory prayer that included prophets of 22 people. He said, I got most of my revelation and where what I was to do was through that intercessory prayer team and those prophets. He'd weigh their messages, and when those messages struck a chord in him, he'd write it down in a journal and keep those words. And that's how he, you know, not that he didn't get revelation himself, sometimes he did. But he counted heavily on those intercessors and those prophets. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptizing. You wouldn't know it today. There's a B in churches. But it says we're one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, in all, in you all. And to every one of us given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. There are some offices that they consider themselves their major office, prophet and then slash apostle or pastor apostle. There's all mixtures. Hyphenated apostles is what he called them, where you've got more than one ministry gift operating. He said for a long time he was a teacher. I mean, he was in some kind of university teaching. So for many years he was a teacher until he was recruited higher in his apostolic office. Then he dropped teacher. I mean, he had a doctorate, so he just called himself doctor. He kind of skated some things because people have a hard time using that word apostle. You don't hear them saying, well, pastor so-and-so or teacher so-and-so or even evangelist Billy Graham or, you know, you don't hear any problem with that. But apostle, oh, yeah. You know, they all died. They ain't anymore. Well, I think Ephesians was probably after Jesus. And, you know, Paul got the revelation on this. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children. The church is so immature. They're just babies. Is it really their fault? No. It's the leader's fault, just like it is in this nation. I mean, we voted those leaders in, but not us, but some. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. By speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working, in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So can't you see now with a pastor, at least an apostle and prophet, probably a whole intercessor prayer team, can you see more of a safety of keeping things on balance? That whenever you believe the Lord's telling you to do something, then you've got a whole intercessory prayer team that's praying it through in the Spirit. You've got prophets that can say, well, you know, we jive with that. Yeah, we agree with that. Yeah, we believe this is God. And they all agree and they move on. Don't you see the safety in that? Mm-hmm. Instead of that responsibility on one person? I do. I'm thinking, to me, that's like a buffer. That's to keep you in balance and keep you from... I believe the Lord set it up this way so that the church would be and keep things decently in order. There was accountability. I can remember back whenever I was going to that little church when I was in high school, little Baptist church. Really liked the pastor there. Next thing I know, he run off with the organ player. And we're all going, say what? And that's back when it wasn't cool. Accountability. All right. Okay, let me look here. Apostles build or execute, and the prophet provides vision, as do intercessors. I guess we will see who is old guard, the old wineskin, and who is the new guard, new wineskin concerning pastors. Will they submit to accountability? I guess we will see if they truly are following the Lord and His plan. I believe that they will. The church must have God's doctrine, not doctrines of men. Mere men. I'm so thankful for the last nearly 7.5 years in the Lord's training and His bringing these truths to me. Lord knows through all of this, I don't want to make the same mistakes. All right, the Lord is ready for His church to be all He has ordained her to be and be that city on a hill for all to see. Yeah. All right, All right, we're going to see here what kind of authority or apostolic authority did Paul have over the churches. All right, of course, apostles have a spiritual gift. We see it here in Ephesians 4. They also have a particular assignment and a call. Apostles have extraordinary character. That is why their training is long and laborious. That's your Moseses and your, Josephs. These that backside of the desert. Paul, backside of the desert. Apostles have followers, those that see the call and follow. Apostles have vision, not just the prophets. They also have vision. All right. On 4:15-21, this is what the Lord said to me. Because of no teaching, the apostolic authority is not accepted in the church. My people need to be taught so that they will understand my church order and it will become natural to them. How will they hear without a preacher? All right, Romans 10 here. That's that scripture, I think. Yeah. 10:14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him and of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, bring glad tidings of good things, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There's a word Danny gave me last, I think sometime in June, where it was talking about, I want you to get my people back on track because the church is has gotten out of order, got it way off the track. They've gone south. Just look at the medical community and the medical system and all that stuff that's entrapped the church. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth and their words into the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long, I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Why? They hadn't had a preacher. The church has not had, now I know there's some churches because these apostolic movements are huge movements and they're not just here, they're all over the world and they've been really in operation since the 90s anyway. It's just, these were people that I've heard their names, some of them. But, you know, they've been operating in this kind of thing for a long time. It's just other types of denominations and sects and different things just didn't acknowledge that and went on and did their thing. It's not like they didn't know because these are some big dogs. I'm telling you, these are names that everybody knows. It kind of surprised me. I'm thinking, oh, wow, you are. Anyway, let me keep going here. Apostle Paul has, even when the apostles were acknowledged and accepted, had to defend himself at times because of the authority he took that was given to him by God to judge things, take care of things, set things in order. We're going to look at that. This is 2 Corinthians 11. We're going to start with verse 1 here. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. You know, I mentioned to you that the reason that they disrupted the churches, I'm talking the deep state, what they did was they went in and they made the pastor the sole person over each flock so they could manipulate and control that one person. I mean, why else would you have Masonic lodge meetings in the basement of the church? This is the beast. Jesus talked to John about the churches that had Satan's seed in them. So this is how they sabotage. Now, what do the people do? They go to the pastor for everything. They're wanting a bottle. I remember a pastor's wife saying to me, she said, it's like nursery school, isn't it? And I said, yeah, they want you to do everything for them. They want to feed you, you feed them everything they want. They don't want to do anything on their own. They want you to have all the answers, and whenever you don't have all the answers, they want to, you know, tar and feather you and run you out of town. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted, because I preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. When I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. That which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. In all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. If you'll read these things in a new light through the apostolic letters, the epistles, you will see it so different. You can see where the pastors were exalted because of what happened. Everyone reads those epistles. These are the pastoral epistles. No, they're not. They're apostolic. Because it wasn't focused on the pastors. It was focused on the apostles and prophets and the foundation, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. If you look at it that way, you'll read it in a whole new light. I've started underlining it anytime I see apostle or prophet, just because I thought, you know, you're right. I always looked at those. Timothy was a pastor. No, he wasn't. He was an apostle. So was Titus. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth, what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as me, as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostle of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed to an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. What's happened today, right here? People are lining up to get a shot for a virus that's 99.9% curable. Taking poison into their body, something that's not been approved, hasn't even had the right vetting, and they're taking it and they're lining up for it. And they won't listen to anybody that's got any reasoning at all, any sound, structured advice for them at all. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. This is his life as an apostle. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak? I'm not weak. Who is offended? And I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Artus the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison. That's 16 soldiers, I think. Well, I don't know, is it? Maybe not. Desirous to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket I was let down by the wall and escaped his hands. And I'm going to show you why. All this. Chapter 12. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations in the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. I knew a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Why in the world wouldn't it be that way? And I'm not saying I like it or anybody else would like it, but the fact is that the apostle being the foundation and the prophets, the foundation of the church, the enemy targets them. Why? They don't want anything kept decently in order. They want to be able to come in like they've been able to and do what they've done. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glory, and ye have compelled me, for ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. True to the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein you were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. You think, wow. Behold, the third time I'm ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you. For I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to be lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. The Lord spoke to me about many years ago that I would be a father in the body of Christ. Well, apostles are fathers, as well as prophets, fathers. Now you see the young men, you see the children, fathers. Well, I may not have it in this teaching, but I do have some of that stuff written down. He's talking here. For I seek not yours but you, for the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. He's not talking naturally. He's talking about church. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. But be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? We see here Titus. He's on his apostolic team. Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same step? Yes! They're a team! Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you, we speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying? For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not. In other words, I'm going to have some rough words to say to you when I get there. Lest there be debates, envyings, wrath, strifes, backbitings, whispering, swelling tumults. Huh, that's the normal church today. And lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, in that I shall bewail many which have sinned already, have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. Then he goes on, this is the third time I'm coming to you, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. You can kind of understand what Paul went through, but not just him, but those called to be apostles. They have walked through the fire. This is where the extraordinary character development comes in. No character, no power. I'm telling you what, if you get all bent out of shape and run at the mouth, somebody cuts you off in traffic, what are you going to do on somebody else? See? Nobody is perfect. Nobody does it right all the time. But you got to get to the place that if you do have a meltdown, it's very seldom, or if at all. Apostles establish churches and appoint pastors. Because of the dynamics of these two powerful offices, you can see why our pastors would be intimidated. Because of the long training process, it offsets pride rising up. Because there's no novices allowed. There's none of these young, like I said, young bucks being recruited like machine gun bullets out of a gun to start this church, start this church, start this church, start this church. They'd be properly vetted. Okay. Paul the apostle told Timothy the apostle not to put a novice in a place of ministry. This is 1 Timothy 3:6. You know, I used to ask myself, Lord, why do I seem to rag on the church a lot? Maybe I know why. Rag on the church. For 7 years, he's had me ragging on the church. And now I kind of understand why, maybe. I can't say I'm absolutely sure, but I know the Lord said in this particular area I'm studying that I'm right over the target. All right. 1 Timothy 3:6. Not a novice. Well, let me go up. Let's just start with the verse 1. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For I know a man, for if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, unless these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. In other words, prove them in the deaconship before you put them in a bishopship. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children in their own house as well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. These things I write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. See, this was part, these letters were part of his apostolic office. overseeing the churches, you know, problems would arise, and he'd have to deal with them. Sometimes he visited, sometimes he wrote letters. That's what these epistles were. This thing right here is how we're supposed to run the church, these epistles. That's how far off the mark we are. If you can't even be civil when someone cuts you off in traffic, well enough said. There, moving on. The Lord has said that he is bringing in new leaders that will get in order and submit to one another, not compete with one another. I have a dear friend, love her, known her for many years. And her son has a church, a pretty good-sized church, and all I ever hear is how many they're running. I just want to scream. Because they gauge in the church, you're a success about how many you're running. Okay. All right. The epistles are actually the apostolic letters to the churches to keep everything decently and in order. The church had one voice, like one drum, one sound. Love them or hate them, apostles have an awesome responsibility, and they've paid the price to be where they are. The Lord said to me that they are fathers. This is where I'm going to give you some scriptures. This is 1 John 2, 13. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. All right, the other one's in 1 Corinthians 4:15. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. God has placed the apostles in a place to be able to say, follow me as I follow Christ. He didn't say that about the pastor, the prophet, or any of the other gifts. He said it to the apostle, because they're the ones that are building that foundation. All right. Not all apostles are over all churches. Like I've said before, Peter was the apostle to the Jews. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. The Lord has led me to a couple of books on apostles and prophets. The reason I chose this author was because he was saying many of the things that the Lord had already spoken to me. I would like to share some of those things I've gleaned from those books that go with what the Lord already spoke to me. All right, this is, his name was C. Peter Wagner. He passed away in 2016. He was a horizontal apostle, which they're more administrative. They are over like a lot of maybe ministries, like big apostolic ministries. He'll be the total overseer of all the ministers involved, not so much people, but more administrative. Vertical apostles are more like Peter and Paul. They had certain churches that they were over. Okay. All right, now let's look here. Paul was a vertical apostle. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 9, 1 and 2. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. So he's acknowledging, I'm an apostle over y'all, but not over them. See, apostles get into trouble when they step out of their sphere. Just like I told you, somebody comes in and says, well, I'm an apostle, I'm going to take over your church. Well, he's liable to get thrown out, and well, so. He has no authority there. Unless God has placed that, and he does it properly. I wouldn't dare ever try to do something like that anywhere over anything. Would you? Yeah. You let God. He's the one that raises one up and brings down another. Okay. Just want you to understand the office and how it operates. Okay, you can plainly see here, he was the apostle. He was not the apostle of every fellowship, just the Gentile churches. He operated within his sphere. He relays here that Timothy and Titus were also vertical apostles, and the epistle letters to the churches should be viewed apostolic as opposed to pastoral. He believed that they were actually a part of Paul's team. Okay, Philippians 2. 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I may also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Is that how you say it, Timotheus?
Timotheus.
I think you'd say it either way. Timotheus, anyway. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Okay, let me see. All right, let me keep going. Now that's Epaphroditus, the argument. All right, yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger. A messenger, sometimes apostles are called messengers, a sent one, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because ye heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service to me. So here his fellow apostle working with them on his team nearly died because the church did not supply, evidently, is what it's saying. All right. So Epaphroditus was a messenger sent from the team to handle a certain situation. You could say he kind of acted like a vertical prophet in a way, a horizontal, because he kind of took the oversight of those others on his team. So he could. You can be both. You can kind of see that. All right. When you look at these epistles as apostolic, it changes the picture entirely. Now you see why James was camped out in Jerusalem and he didn't get out of the church, because that was his jurisdiction. That was his sphere of influence. He was a horizontal prophet. Apostle. Yeah. It wasn't that they weren't doing their jobs. They were doing their jobs. In fact, there was so much to do in the beginning of the church, that's why they had to appoint different ones to oversee the widows and oversee different things, to make sure things were getting taken care of. We don't need to be too hard on them. It was a chaotic mess, kind of like we got now. All right. Okay, now Titus. 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me, according to the commandment of our God and Savior, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I have appointed thee. Elders are mainly, I have a paper here that talks about what elders are. First of all, they're older men. and usually pastors. They were considered a senior presbyter. Senior presbyter. I don't think really the leaders were supposed to be young, unless they were under some kind of training, maybe like Timothy being a young apostle under Paul. Right here, it just talks about the qualifications of a bishop, but mainly they're elders. That's what they are. And most of them are older men. It also meant older men. That just means they have some maturity. Okay. All right, sent to put things in order. This is what apostles do. Now this confirms what the Lord said to me about why the church is powerless. It is out of order. Why? No apostle and prophet foundation. We also see here that apostles appoint elders over the churches. Elders are usually older men, not novices for sure. All right, let's keep going here. Titus, pick up with verse 6. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as the stewards of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even as a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. And on we go. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of the Lord God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of our God, our Savior in all things. So you see here, the world, look at the way the world's in. We've got so away of God's order. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that it, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Now this is what has to return to the church. If the church is left the way it is today, it won't be long the swamp will start coming back. Because it ain't never left. Yeah. A big work ahead for sure. Just changing people's minds. Because, you know, they can take every swamp creature out today, but if people do not get their mindsets changed, the corruption will start over again. And they're so haughty in churches. If you don't do something just right, they're offended. Well, that ain't the way it's supposed to be. All right. So Paul's rebuking as apostle, not as a pastor. Now the pastor is supposed to be the one that's with the sheep, loves on the sheep. Yeah, I did that, baby. You know, that's more pastoral, but it's not apostolic. Not at all. But there are some apostles that are pastors. You understand? Have more than one office. All right. Paul's rebuking an apostle. He is rebuking as an apostle, not as a pastor. Now, we know Paul was also a prophet. But he dropped prophet. But I know he's still operating as a prophet. I think multiple gifts are more common. We've just not been taught about it. People can operate in multiple gifts and they just don't recognize it, or they're not taught. See, you know. All right, apostles can be abrupt like Paul. He called out Peter and the man committing incest, and he rebuked the Cretans. The late apostle C. Peter Wagner relayed that he was a horizontal apostle. Horizontal apostles have authority over other apostles. It can be for a prolonged or short period of time, sometimes over just one assignment, like James. James was a horizontal apostle over the Jerusalem Council. He was not one of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. He was the brother of Jesus. He wrote the book of James. James, the brother of John, was later killed by Herod with the sword. Okay? This is Acts chapter 12. Acts 12. Verse 2, right there. Verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And so they saw it pleased the Jews, so he proceeded further to take Peter. That's when Peter was in prison and the angel came and, you know, all that. All right, Acts 15. After Peter saw the trance, he went to Cornelius' house. He took the gospel to the Gentiles. Well, he brought it back to the church, and they were kind of in uproar about it. So this is what we're going to read here. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dissipation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. So they're going to this apostolic council, of whom James is the horizontal apostle over. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. Now Paul and Barnabas were arguing with them about this. No, they don't have to be circumcised to be saved. Look what just happened to Peter. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. Now, the elders here in this context is a council of apostles. All right. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. And all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. So what did James do? He let them all kind of have their say. He listened. And after that, they held their peace. And now the big kahuna steps up to the plate. James answered, saying, he didn't say, well, we ought to think about this because, you know, we've got so many different opinions here. No, James made a decision. Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this degree, the words of the prophets as it is written. After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. That the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollution of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preacheth him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. So, did they have a riot? Everybody jump up and say, well, I disagree. Get on social media and post stuff like they do today. Then pleased it the apostles. What'd they do? They submitted under James. And elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner, the apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment, it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord. James made the decision, and they all got on board. They're a team. Just think about it, if the church operated that way today. I mean, all over the world, everybody's hearing the same thing. To send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, and from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well, fare ye well. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after that they tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Just think about that. We're one body. I know the church was a lot smaller back then. Okay. All right. James seemed to be just. He heard what everybody had to say, but he made the decision. He had that place of authority as a horizontal apostle. Okay. He didn't ask for a show of hands, a vote. Yeah, general consensus here. Or how he heard how they felt about it and made a decision. And they didn't raise up in an anarchy. Okay. Today, most church leaders would probably think that James' decision was dictatorial. But the Holy Ghost is making the call here. The horizontal apostle is overriding the general consensus of the body of elders present and staying on target with God's plan. Okay. Now you see why there needs to be a strong person in that place. All right, 2 Timothy 1. Gotta get me a drink. It's gonna be my last scripture on this teaching. Verse 11. It is a faithful saying, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Wait a minute, is that right? No, sorry. It's one, not two. One. Wherefore I'm appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Okay.